From high atop the ice surface at Bell MTS Place, we welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast, joined by analyst Ezra Ginsberg. I'm your host, Drew Mindell. Ezzy, we've seen a lot of hockey games here at Bell MTS Place over the last number of years. This one is going to go right up at the top of the list of the most entertaining contests, for sure, most dramatic, most memorable. What an epic battle tonight between the Nashville Predators and the Winnipeg Jets, culminating in a Jets 7-4 victory over the Predators tonight to take a 2-1 series lead, with Game 4 coming Thursday night here at Bell MTS Place.
What a hockey game. You know, the Jets go down 3-0 after one period. The entire crowd seems like they're out of it. The Jets almost went down 4-0. Mike Fisher hit the post late in the first period.
Yeah. And Philip Forsberg hits the post early in the second period as well.
After Austin Watson hits Blake Wheeler, which it looked like it was a hit to the head maybe there, Drew, and as soon as it went to 4-on-4 hockey, the game was over as far as I was concerned. It was almost like, sure, Paul Stastny gets the Jets on the board to make it 3-1, but after Austin Watson hits Blake Wheeler and then Mark Scheifele goes after him, and then obviously Scheifele goes off for roughing, it was a completely different game. Dustin Byfuglien was not going to be denied there, and you know, the Jets tie it up, and you know, obviously, you know, Nashville ties it up in the third period. But for me, a big difference in this game late was Nashville's lack of discipline. And you know, PK Subban takes a high-sticking penalty right after they had just killed off a penalty. I believe it was Austin Watson, if I'm not mistaken, who took the penalty before PK Subban. Kevin Fiala for tripping.
Yes.
And then PK Subban takes a penalty right after. Sorry, there were so many penalties in that game. But, you know, you just can't take those types of penalties, Drew. And then, you know, the Jets get the winning goal scored by Blake Wheeler, and then Pekka Rinne takes that slashing penalty. And at that point in the game, I mean, it's a one-goal game. Nashville can still come back down the ice and tie this game up. And I thought that was kind of, you know, emblematic of how frustrated the Predators were there in the third period. You have the three-goal lead going into the second period, and, you know, the Jets just dominated for large chunks of the second and third period. But discipline was a big issue for Nashville, I thought.
Agreed wholeheartedly. 7-4, like you said, Ezzy, the Predators actually out to a 3-0 lead after 20 minutes in tonight's game. Let's break it all down. The Predators open the scoring. They take the crowd a little bit out of it to start the game at the 4:53 mark of the first period. The veteran Mike Fisher gets his first of the playoffs with an assist to Ryan Hartman and Matthias Ekholm. This one starts with Ekholm with a quality point shot that Hartman gets a piece of, tips it through Connor Hellebuck, and Fisher is able to get away from Tyler Myers to deposit the puck into the empty net.
Yeah, hopefully we're not going to go through all the goals, by the way, Drew, because we're going to be here for 45 minutes. But, you know, Mikko Salomaki tips that puck, and Hellebuck makes the original save. And, you know, it's just a fortuitous rebound for Mike Fisher. But, you know, I thought Fisher was really strong all game. But that was a goal that you really can't fault Hellebuck. But, you know, give the Predators a lot of credit for the way they started. I mean, it wasn't a mistake that they were up 3-0. I mean, they played really well. It was all Nashville in the first, let's say, 12 to 14 minutes of the game. I thought the Jets started to settle down a little bit later in the period. But, yeah, that got the goal scoring going. And I thought Nashville was really in control for much of the first.
Yeah, public enemy number one here in Winnipeg, PK Subban, makes it 2-0 with the power play goal with Blake Wheeler in the box. He fires one from the top of the circle. No screen, really, on Connor Hellebuck, a goal that Hellebuck wants back. He looked shaky in the first period. You saw it on that second goal, and then you saw it on the third goal for the Predators, which was Austin Watson just one-on-one with Josh Morrissey, and he uses Morrissey as a screen, and he whips a wrist shot sort of off the far post and beats Hellebuck glove side. Hellebuck did not look solid in the first period, and that explains the Jets didn't look solid in the first period, and that explains why it was a 3-0 Predators lead after 20 minutes.
Yeah, Drew, I thought the Austin Watson goal was more questionable. You mentioned, you know, Watson uses Morrissey as a screen, but, and it might have gone off of Morrissey's skate. I don't know if it deflected, but, you know, Connor Hellebuck's got to have that. And, you know, PK Subban's got one of the better shots in the league. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the second goal wasn't as big of a problem for me, but Hellebuck was not good in the first period. And let's be honest, I mean, he let in five goals in game two, right? So, I mean, I thought Hellebuck definitely got better, you know, as this game progressed, but certainly the Watson goal to make it 3-0, I mean, that looked like it could have been a killer goal, but obviously, you know, the Jets came back and tied it up in the second, but that was a bad one for Hellebuyck.
Yeah, you mentioned we mentioned it earlier, you know, Mike Fisher hit a post late in the first period, it was almost 4-0. Philip Forsberg starts the second period, almost hits a post, almost makes it 4-0. Instead, they catch iron, the Jets get on the board, it's a Jacob Trouba point shot that sort of, you know, it bounces and then it hits Paul Stastny and it deflects past Pekka Rinne in and out of the net so quickly that the refs didn't notice at first. The play went back down the end of the ice. The Jets celebrated. I mean, Stastny knew he scored. And all of a sudden, instead of it being 4-0 Predators, it's 3-1 for the Preds sort of early in the second period.
Yeah, Drew, and all of us up in the press box thought that was clearly in. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think a lot of fans in the stands also thought it was in. Paul Stastny definitely knew that it was in. And I actually thought Stastny got a stick on it, but it actually went off of a skate. And then there was a little bit of controversy that maybe, you know, it was a direct kicking motion. It wasn't. And, you know, it just obviously goes off of a skate. It's a, you know, lucky bounce, if you want to call it that, for the Jets. But, I mean, that goal was huge because, as you mentioned, you know, it could have been 4-0 Preds easily. And, you know, that really got the ball rolling for the Jets. You didn't necessarily think that they were going to score two goals in 18 seconds mm-hmm. after that. But, I mean, Austin Watson, I go back to, you know, Austin Watson, he's a great player. You know, I mean, he's been great all playoffs for the Predators on that third line, but, you know, deciding to hit Blake Wheeler in that manner.
Right. Let's talk about that. So sure. What happens in the second period after the Jets cut into the lead and it's 3-1, Austin Watson takes a charging penalty, hits Blake Wheeler, definitely looked up high, whether or not he got him in the head or not. I haven't seen enough replays that show a definitive angle. Definitely catches him up high. Immediately gets called for the penalty. Mark Scheifele comes in and, you know, really sort of takes down Austin Watson with a bit of a, you know, a high tackle. If this was the NFL, he gets another penalty. So it's 4-on-4 hockey. But what you've done here is, you know, obviously Austin Watson was playing on the edge all game long, and he awakened the beast that was the Winnipeg Jets. And lo and behold, after it's a 3-1 game, the Jets are able to tie it up in the 4-on-4 play. They score twice in 28 seconds. Pardon me, twice in 18 seconds. Dustin Byfuglien, his second of the game from Little and Myers, and Trouba, Byfuglien's second of the series. Trouba, his second of the playoffs as well, from Wheeler and Stastny. Two goals in 18 seconds on that 4-on-4 situation, and it's a 3-all game, and this place was raucous.
It was so loud, and not only two goals in 18 seconds, Drew, but two goals in 18 seconds by defensemen. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, that was a huge part of this game that maybe we didn't even see in the first two games. The defensemen not only jumping up into the play, but making the right decisions to go to the net and get those rebounds, right? Jacob Trouba's goal was right by to the right of Pekka Rinne, and it was a smart decision. And, you know, beautiful pass by Patrick Laine. I mean, it was really a beautiful pass. Pardon me, I'm thinking.
You're getting the goals confused.
See, I'm getting the goals confused now. Trouba goal was a rebound.
No, Trouba's was a pass from Wheeler.
Okay, so yeah.
So what happened there is
I'm getting the goals.
I know,
confused.
It's okay. It's all good. I actually had the opportunity to take them all down. The point shot is by Trouba. It deflects off of Paul Stastny, and then he throws it. No, I'm getting my confused also. Trouba pinches. He keeps the puck in. It goes down behind the net to Paul Stastny, who gets it to Wheeler in the slot. And then Trouba is left unmarked at the side of Pekka Rinne. Wheeler with a great pass to Trouba. You know, terrible, horrendous D-zone coverage in this 4-on-4 situation by the Predators. They were running around like crazy people with no coverage at all. Trouba is wide open. He has enough time to corral a bouncing puck and whip it past Pekka Rinne to tie it at 3-all. There were a lot of goals in this game. It can be forgiven for misremembering one or two of them.
Yeah, and it was a really, you know, smart decision, as I mentioned, for Trouba to get into that position. And, you know, the Jets, I don't think anybody would, say that they're have any trouble scoring goals. But, in this game, I mean, give the Jets a lot of credit for being resilient. And, you know, those two goals in 18 seconds, I thought, you know, Trouba and Buff played well on both sides of the puck. But in this particular case, I thought, you know, the Jets were making, you know, a point of jumping up, getting their defensemen to jump up into the play. And, you know, I think the Predators at that point were shell-shocked, really.
Absolutely. As good as the Predators were in the first period, the Jets were that good to start the second period. Their bounce back after a dismal first period, their worst period, I would suggest, of the playoffs. I mean, even worse than that game three in Minnesota. And after the 12 or 13 minute mark of the second period, where the game is back tied at 3-3, I think it started to settle in a little bit. And then the Jets, right before the buzzer in the second period, with 45 seconds to go at the 19:15 mark, Dustin Byfuglien deposits his third of the playoffs, his second of the game. This was the beautiful pass from Patrick Laine. The skill on display on this pass, I mean, Laine has to have the vision to see Byfuglien, to whip the pass to him the manner he did. And Byfuglien, you know, he's not in a prime shooting position. He's on the other side of the faceoff dot, closer to the boards, a little bit even on his back foot. But he's such a strong, powerful man, as Paul Maurice likes to say, that he's able to wire the one-timer on an absolute bullet of a pass from Patrick Laine past Pekka Rinne, and the Jets have a 4-3 lead.
And that's why I say that I think the Jets were making a point of, you know, bringing their defensemen further up into the Predator zone, you know, getting more aggressive. And, you know, I don't think it's a coincidence that you saw that many goals scored by defensemen. And, you know, Byf was great tonight. I mean, Byf played, you know, we know he's always up there as far as the ice time leaders go. Yeah. And, you know, he almost got a hat trick. I mean, he had some chances on the power play in the third period as well, but he was fantastic. But yeah, back to the goal. I mean, it was a beautiful pass by Patrick Laine. We know that he can do more than score goals, even though I think he's, you know, looking to get on the score sheet more. I think in this series, he's still stuck on two goals in the playoffs. But Byfuglien was great, and I thought that, you know, he was kind of a man possessed. He was really attacking the net and you know, finding those openings, really.
The Predators are able to tie the game up at 4. At the 7:40 mark of the third period, Philip Forsberg with his fifth of the playoffs, a untimely penalty from Jack Roslovic, who takes an interference penalty, and the Predators' power play was very good tonight. They scored on two of their opportunities, two of their, I believe it was five opportunities for the Predators' power play. This is Forsberg finding some time and space, letting the traffic in front of Hellebuck develop. Victor Arvidsson, you know, still doing damage in front of the Jets' net, providing that screen, and Forsberg's able to go top corner, tying the game with about 12 and a half minutes to go.
Yeah, it was a great shot by Forsberg, and, you know, it looked like maybe this game was heading into overtime, but, you know, the Predators, as we talked about earlier, gave the Jets some late power plays, but, you know, Forsberg's been excellent in this series. I mean, the top line of the Predators were not good in game one. Mm-hmm. I think they combined for 8 points in game two, and I thought, you know, Johansson and Arvidsson and Forsberg were all excellent in this game. Arvidsson, I mean, that's something that needs to be brought up. I mean, the save that Hellebuck makes, yes, on Victor Arvidsson when the game is tied 4-4, mm-hmm, you could say that's a turning point in the game. I don't think you could necessarily pick one moment in this game as being a turning point with all of the lead changes and, you know, the game being tied up and everything like that. But that save by Hellebuck on Arvidsson was great. And, I mean, we talked about it during the game. I mean, this is the way the series, it looks like, at least, this is the way the series is going. I mean, we thought maybe based on, you know, the regular season scores, the 41 goals in five games, we thought maybe these games were going to be lower scoring. And it looked like in game one, it was going to be a low scoring game. But these last two games, I mean, you've seen so many goals, and it looks like the teams are going to continue to play this wide open style.
Yeah, the offenses just are superlative to the defensive structure and the way the game's being called nowadays in the NHL. You can't clutch and grab. You can't, you know, limit speed through the neutral zone. And when you have these two high-flying offenses, that's just what you see. You see goals, games that end up with, you know, 9 goals, 10 goals, 11 goals, like we saw tonight. The Jets end up getting the game-winning goal with 4 minutes and 59 seconds to go. It's Blake Wheeler. He deposits the rebound from Mark Scheifele and Dustin Byfuglien. It's a textbook Jets power play setup. The shot by Scheifele comes from the high slot after Wheeler sets him up. Rebound goes to Wheeler sort of on an odd angle, not quite parallel with the goal line, but not far off of it. And watching the replay, what you see is he fires it at net, and it actually deflects in off of Pekka Rinne. And that's sort of what, you know, changes the angle to get into the Predators' net. You can't really blame Rinne for it, but Wheeler just, you know, throw it on net, hope for a good thing. But, you know, Jets take a 5-4 lead at that point in time. We have to talk about the Predators' lack of discipline. They take 4 penalties in the third period, 4 penalties from the 4:25 mark to the 15:31 mark. So you're playing almost the entire third period shorthanded. That is not a recipe for success. Even though the Jets' power play really wasn't terrific tonight, only got the one power play goal, eventually it bit the Predators in the behind, and that's what ends up with the Jets getting the game-winning goal off Blake Wheeler.
Yeah, you know, the PK Subban penalty is obviously the killer, but, you know...
Which was clearly a penalty. He high-sticks Nikolaj Ehlers right in the face.
Right, and it was, you know, what, 10 seconds after Kevin Fiala gets out of the box. I don't know if it was exactly 10 seconds. Yeah. It felt like it was 10 seconds.
Two minutes and 7 seconds.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, it was shortly after Kevin Fiala comes out of the penalty box, and, you know, the Pekka Rinne penalty probably bothers Peter Laviolette more than the PK Subban penalty, because, as I mentioned, I mean, it's a one-goal game at that point. Mm-hmm. The game's not over. The Jets... Blake Wheeler scores the first empty net goal at 6-4, then the game's over.
Right.
I mean, you're not coming back when it's 6-4, and then the Brandon Tanev goal is meaningless as far as I'm concerned. I mean, obviously nice for Tanev to get the empty netter, but the game is over when it's 6-4. So the Rinne penalty, I mean, you just can't do that. What kind of messages does that send to the rest of your team? So, you know, Rinne continues to struggle. I mean, we talked about it on Saturday's show. I mean, Rinne has not been good in the series, and he was not good in games 2 and 3 mm-hmm. of the series against Colorado. So I think, you know, you got to be concerned if you're the Predators. I mean, you allow 4 goals in game 2, and then you allow, you know, another 5 goals in game 3. Yeah. So
Including the empty netters, of course.
Right, yeah. And you're right, Drew. I mean, discipline is a huge issue right now for Nashville, obviously more so in game 3, but Jets had a top 5 power play in the league this year, and you can't take 4 penalties in the third period, especially when you're trying to tie the game up, right? So, you know, they're going to have to be more disciplined, or they're going to go back to Nashville, and most likely the series is going to be 3-1, and if it's 3-1, I would say the series is over.
It was a fantastic contest tonight at Bell MTS Place. You mentioned Wheeler. He gets his third of the playoffs. It's the second of the game. It's into an empty net. Mark Scheifele wins a puck battle from Craig Smith in the Jets zone, puts it up the boards to Wheeler, and he called his shot. He from inside the Jets blue line. It's either going to be icing or it's going in the net. This time it went in the net. That gave the Jets the 6-4 lead with 51 seconds to play. 20 seconds later, Brandon Tanev again into an empty net. He's got 4 goals in the playoffs. If you'd said Brandon Tanev's going to have 4 goals in the playoffs, you'd say you're crazy. But he's been tremendous for the Winnipeg Jets tonight. This was a, you know, this really was a big boy game. If you look up and down the score sheet, these are the best players from, you know, from these teams who are doing most of the scoring. Subban, Byfuglien, Trouba, Forsberg, Wheeler. I mean, these two teams, it's been billed as a heavyweight matchup, and that's certainly what you saw tonight at Bell MTS Place with the Jets coming on the victorious side of a 7-4 victory.
It's like the old saying, right? I mean, the Jets won the battle tonight, but the war is still going on, right? I mean, it's... The Jets are in a good position right now. They're in the driver's seat, and this series is not over, but that's a huge win for the Jets, especially when you're up 3-0. Nashville obviously is up 3-0 after one, and it looks like they're in control of the game. And that second period, 4 goals, you mentioned it, Drew. I mean, we talked about all the goals, even though I can't remember half of them. But
there was a lot happening here tonight.
I mean, that's huge, and now all of the pressure's on Nashville because it's you know, I just mentioned it. I mean, you go back to Nashville, down 3-1. I mean, we know what the stats are. It's really hard to win, you know, 3 games in a row. And so it's, you know, the series has tilted in the Jets' favor right now. And, you know, give them a lot of credit. I mean, they could have easily wilted when the score was 3-0 after one. But they came out. They were the better team in the second period. And they were the better team in the third period. And, you know, they didn't allow this game to go to overtime. They took advantage of their power play opportunities. At least they took advantage of one power play opportunity because they almost scored when Fiala was in the box. So what a game, though. I mean, this is one of the best hockey games I think we've ever seen in this arena.
I would agree wholeheartedly with that. Dustin Byfuglien leading the Jets in time on ice, playing 27 minutes and 12 seconds. He was just a dominant force tonight. 2 goals, 1 assist for Byfuglien. 27-12 time on ice. Paul Maurice really shortened his bench in this game as opposed to the sort of rolling of 4 lines that we'd seen through the first 2 games. Matt Hendricks only 6 minutes and 7 seconds of time on ice. Roslovic 8 minutes, 12 seconds. And Andrew Kopp 7:25 time on ice. If the Jets can get Matthew Perreault or Joel Armia back into their lineup, it's really going to make a difference because I think right now you're seeing a guy like Matt Hendricks. This series is a bit too fast for him right now, and I think the Jets are not saying they're playing with 11 forwards because it's not that dramatic, but they could really use a shot in the arm from a skill player like Joel Armia or Matthew Perreault to really add something to their bottom six of their lineup.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Perreault is back for game 4. We don't know if he's going to be back for game 4, but he's going to be back at some point in the series, and you know, Armia as well. But I agree. I mean, you know, what did Hendricks play, 6 minutes tonight? Yeah. So, you know, he'll probably come out of the lineup if Perreault is healthy, but you know, right now, I don't necessarily know that that's going to give the Jets a huge advantage because the way they're playing right now, I mean, up 2-1 in the series, but it can't hurt to have a player like Matty Perreault in the lineup. Same thing goes for Joel Armia, but, you know, the Jets are getting healthier at the right time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. A fantastic contest here tonight at Bell MTS Place. The Winnipeg Jets, 7-4 victors over the Nashville Predators. They take a 2-1 series lead. Stay tuned for audio from both the Winnipeg Jets and the Nashville Predators dressing room. And of course, NHL this week, the Wednesday edition of the show will come to you tomorrow at 6 p.m. on TSN 1290, where we will break down this game even further. For analyst Ezra Ginsberg, for Dave Manuk doing yeoman's work for IllegalCurve.com, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for listening. This has been the Illegal Curve post-game podcast.
How long was that?